This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Islam. I welcome the students of the Al-Kawthar Mobile Ilm Back to Basics 101. 33 lessons for every Muslim course. Walhamdulillah. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Before we move on to lesson 4, 5, 6, and 7, a little bit of revision, insha'Allah. Number 1, lesson 1 covered La ilaha illallah and its conditions. Lesson 2, Suratul Fatiha and the 3 quls. Lesson number 3, the 5 pillars of Al-Islam. Brothers and sisters, in lesson 1 we learnt that La ilaha illallah is the price of paradise. La ilaha illallah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. Many of the pagans, the mushrikeen, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask them, who sends down the rain, who gives life and takes life, who provides rizq? Allah, Allah, they would say. But their issue and their problem was that they would worship others with their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their pious and their righteous and their graves and their idols and their trees, they would also worship and give a share of their worship to these, slaughter for these, Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, their actions in reality contradicted their heart and contradicted that which they would say with their tongues. Lesson 2, Suratul Fatiha, greatest surah in the noble Quran. Minimum we recite it 17 times a day. The 3 quls, super important surahs, although very, very short, walhamdulillah. We would advise the students to listen to the deeper explanation of these surahs by, for example, Nu'man Ali Khan, by, for example, Sheikh Yasir Qadi, by Sheikh Tawfiq Chaudhry, available online, walhamdulillah. Listen to those explanations. Why? Because these surahs are oft repeated. We read them a lot. Understand what you are reading, brothers and sisters. Lesson 3, Al-Islam. And if one looks at the 5 pillars of Al-Islam, most of them fall in the category of the rituals. Your zakah, your performance of hajj, performance of your salah, your fasting in the month of Ramadan, your testification upon your tongue, matters of the outward. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in lesson number 4, we'll talk about the matter, the issues related to iman. What is faith? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a quick bit of admin matters, insha'Allah. Number 1, we advise our brothers and sisters to mute the notifications in the group. In the group, you click on the settings of that group and you are able to mute notifications. Thus, you will not be disturbed when the brothers and the sisters type up that they've read through the notes and they've listened to the audio. So we advise you to mute notifications. Number 2, the previous audios, the audio of the introduction and the audio of lesson 1, 2 and 3 have already been uploaded to MuslimCentralAudio.com. A fantastic website. We advise you to download the app or visit the website MuslimCentralAudio.com. And so if you have an issue with the audio via WhatsApp, you can go to the website, download it, spread it, share it as you wish. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we had stated that the procedure of these lessons in relation to this new Muslim, Samantha, and in relation to our brother Ahmed. Some had asked, what's the background of sister Samantha and brother Ahmed? With regards to Samantha, Samantha's from Chicago. Samantha worked for the United Nations. Samantha had worked in Sudan, in Chechnya. She worked with the refugees in Syria, and she has also been to Niger. Why did you embrace Islam, O Samantha? What brought you, what drew you to Al-Islam? She says that when I sat with many of these people, some of them had lost everything that they owned. But I found within them peace. I found within them serenity. I found within them the acceptance of whatever was happening around them, subhanAllah. That many of them would say, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We praise Allah upon all circumstances. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Him we will return. Whatever is meant for me will never miss me. Whatever is not meant for me would never come to me. She says, I was amazed by this. I grew up in that rat race in Chicago, running from place to place, etc., just trying to make my ends meet. And I find these people who have nothing, many of them. And others, mashallah, she mentions the governors in certain areas. She sat with them, rich to another level, but simple, subhanallah. So this drew her to Al-Islam. And then she mentions, she began to read the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although in the media, there was a completely different picture painted of him from in comparison to what she had read. And then she read certain chapters from the Noble Quran. Soon after, she gave her shahada and embraced Al-Islam. Walhamdulillah. As for Brother Ahmed, Brother Ahmed's an electrician from Australia. His background, he comes from a Muslim background. Father was Muslim, immigrated to Australia. So he's got that deen somewhere. He says, but for the past 20 plus years, he's been far away from the deen. Even Salatul Jumu'ah was something which was not in his dictionary. Until one day, he was watching this National Geographic documentary, The Blue Planet. And he watches the documentary pertaining to this blue whale. And he says, I was amazed by it, subhanAllah. That they had mentioned that it grows to the length, the size, 30 meters long. Longer than a bus. It weighs like plus minus 200 tons, that's 200,000 kilograms. The tongue of the blue whale equates the weight of an elephant. The heart of the blue whale equates the weight of a car. And the blue whale has like the, you know, the loudest sounds known to man from amongst the animal kingdom, from amongst the mammals. And it can be heard across a distance of 1,600 kilometers. That's how they communicate with one another, subhanAllah. Their sounds, the sound waves, travel a distance of 1,600 kilometers. No requirement for WhatsApp or Telegram or update Facebook status, mashallah. The calves of the blue whale at birth weigh 3 tons. That's 3,000 kilograms. And the calf, it gains plus minus 91 kilograms a day. 91 kilograms a day for the first year of its life. Lives up to 90 to plus minus 80, 90 years. What does it eat, subhanAllah? These are all the facts that Brother Ahmed had mentioned. He says that it eats krill. 4 tons of krill every single day. That's 4,000 kilograms of krill. What's krill? Krill, these small tiny crustaceans, subhanAllah. Plus minus 1 to 2 centimeters. That massive giant blue whale, largest mammal known to man, eats the small tiny krill. One would have thought maybe it would be eating some elephant type of fish or something of the sort. And the blue whale, as large as it is, cannot swallow anything larger than a beach ball. SubhanAllah. He says, when I watched this, I was amazed. I was amazed. And I said that, where did this come from? Who created this? And he says, this brought me back to Al-Islam. This brought me back to recite and read. Iqra, read. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. In the name of your Lord, who what? Who is Al-Aziz? Who is Al-Jabbar? Who is Rahman? Who is Rahim? No. Allah began the revelation. Read in the name of your Rabb who created. We should look at creation to understand the majesty of the Creator. SubhanAllah. And so that was Brother Ahmed's story. And that's how Brother Ahmed had come back to Al-Islam. And Brother Ahmed, he says, that's why I required this back to basics course, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So we say ahlan wa sahlan to Sister Samantha and to Brother Ahmed. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we move on to lesson number 4. Quick summary. The fundamental articles of Iman, of faith. This is to do with the inner workings, the batin matters, the matters of the heart. That the individual believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has deep faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the proofs for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to the atheists, etc., many works available, many audios available, walhamdulillah. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His angels, mighty, majestic, and many they are. His revealed books, we believe the Muslims, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the Torah, we believe in the Injil. The Muslim has to believe in every one of the previous revealed books. And we also believe in the Noble Quran. We also believe it's the final revelation, it's the final constitution. We believe in every single one of the messengers, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in Musa, we believe in Moses, we believe in Dawood alayhi salam, in Jesus, everyone from the time of Adam, Nuh alayhi salam, Isa, Jesus, every single one of them. If a Muslim out there states that I accept all of the prophets, messengers, but as for Jesus, you know, he doesn't really gel with me. As for Moses, the story of Moses, I don't really agree with that. I don't believe in him. This individual ceases to be a Muslim. He is no longer a Muslim. You have to. It's an article of your faith. You have to believe in every single one of the messengers. To believe in them, to respect them, to honor them, to love them. The day of resurrection. That there's going to be one day that we will all stand before our Creator. And we will have to answer for whatever we did in this life, in this world. This is only but a test. Our father and mother, Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, they were in paradise. An event occurred, they were removed. And thus we are here on earth. We will eventually go back one day, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. The belief in the day of resurrection also aids that individual who's been oppressed, that one day there's going to be a reckoning, and that oppressor's not going to get away with it. In this world, he got away, but Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of rising, the day of resurrection, I will have my say on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would state, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Who is the king today? In this world we had many kings, many who vied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for power and authority. But on that day, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. For Allah, the one and the one who is most overpowering. Al-Qadr, the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, past, present, future, when's it gonna happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained this. But the individual has the choice. You have the choice right now to stop this audio. You have the choice to listen to it. The next prayer coming up, you have the choice of praying. You have the choice of not praying. This, yes, no doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, already knows what you were supposed to do. You don't know. And so that's where the test is. That's where the test is. You do not know what has been written for you. Whatever you do, we would say that was what was written for you. But you are accountable for your actions. Somebody had come to Umar, and this was a thief, and the penalty was about to be applied upon him. And he says, but I've only stolen because this had been written for me. This was my predestination. Allah had written that I would steal. Umar responded to him, no problem. And we will apply the punishment upon you because that's also part of the predestination for you. The fruits, brothers and sisters, in terms of believing in these six pillars of Iman, six pillars of faith, what are some of the benefits? My reliance, my tawakkul is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Muslim who has this faith, he relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's firm in his belief. He has purpose in his life. He knows where he is headed, mashallah. You have, for example, some of the brothers from Jamaat al-Tabligh. So they go house to house, inviting people to al-Islam, inviting people back to al-Islam, inviting people to the masjid. You have amongst the Christians, Jehovah's Witnesses. They have a purpose. They go inviting people door to door. And the joke is, oh Samantha, oh Ahmed, that you have the atheist and he goes around knocking on people's doors for no apparent reason. Allahumma musta'an. The Muslim, he has purpose in his life. He has the ability to overcome these challenges, whatever life throws at him. Whatever's coming, it's gonna come. I cannot miss it. And whatever missed me, I don't sit and cry over spilt milk. This was something I could never have avoided. Subhanallah. And he believes that there's a long, deep tradition. The prophets before him, Jesus was upon the same path. Moses was upon the same path. Dawood was upon the same path. And Suleiman and all of them. This is only but a continuation of that same message. He has a link with his creator. He does not require this pious man or that individual or pay this individual so that he can get closer to God. Allahu Akbar, he begins his prayer and he has communication with his creator. He lifts up his hands and he is in communication with his Lord. Hands not lifted, he's still in communication with his Lord. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. He knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him and thus he also loves his creator. He knows that his creator is looking after him. A direct communication we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No need for any other intermediary. He also understands that he is but one part of the bigger picture. From the time of Adam until the end of time, generations after generation, prophets and messengers and revelation had come. And this entire creation, it's only but a small portion of the bigger picture. He understands that it's not only that I've been born, I will live, I will eat, I will procreate, I come to an end and khalas, it's all over, I'm buried and finished. No, rather the picture is much bigger than that. That was lesson number four, walhamdulillah. Lesson number five, the author discusses the matters of Tawheed. And a classification according to many, and this is not gospel, you could classify these matters differently. A classification according to many a scholar is that Tawheed is divided into three categories. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the oneness of Allah's Lordship. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, no one else. Second class, or rather the second category, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, the belief that Allah is the creator, the nourisher, the sustainer, the one who gives, the one who takes, the one who causes rain to fall, the one who causes rain to be held back. Allah is in control of all of those matters. The Tawheed of Rububiyya. This Tawheed of Rububiyya, for example, the pagans accepted. Yes, Allah sends rain, Allah does this, Allah does that. So why do you not only worship Allah? That they had an issue. Allah musta'an. And the third category, Tawheed Asma wa Sifat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most beautiful of names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى He has the most beautiful of names. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most beautiful of attributes. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our creator, as he described himself. Salim Ahmed Ilyas, Mawlana and Sheikh, they could come up with their own descriptions. But whose description is more worthy of accepting? The description that Allah gave about himself. Read Ayatul Kursi, read the source, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, where Allah describes himself. Read those verses where Allah introduces himself and describes himself. Those ahadith where our messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Samantha had asked, she says, what is this sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I notice every time when you people mention his name, you say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say, Samantha, sallallahu alaihi wasallam means peace be upon him. Peace be upon him. Upon who? Upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what does his name mean? His name means the most praised one. Walhamdulillah. So Tawheed of Uluhiyya, oneness of Lordship. Oneness of Lordship and Tawheed of Uluhiyya rather. Uluhiyya, the oneness of worship. Rububiyya, the oneness of Lordship. And lastly, Asma wa Sifat, most beautiful names and attributes. Walhamdulillah. And we accept as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in Noble Quran. Allah states He sees, He is As-Sami', He hears, He sees. We accept all of that. Allah descends on the third part of the night, and he asks, who is there that seeks forgiveness? Who is there that has a need? I will answer their need. We believe in all of this. The how, we do not know. creation hears and the creator also hears. Are they the same? Absolutely not, subhanAllah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah affirms, He hears and He sees. Lesson number 6, dealing with the opposite of Tawheed, the matter of shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your worship. You have major shirk and you have minor shirk. And the author discusses some of them, and he will also discuss certain examples in the coming lessons. Allah states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will not forgive the sin of shirk. Every other sin is open to forgiveness. The individual's a homosexual, and he believes that this is wrong, it's a sin, I fell into it, I should not have. Somebody is stealing, somebody is committing theft, somebody is lying, backbiting, ghiba, namima, or whatever type of sin. As long as it's a sin less than shirk, it is open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. But if it is shirk associating partners with Allah, it will never be accepted. Think on this point, sisters, brothers. Samantha, you invited your cousin to your home. And mashallah, 3 days before that, you readied up the entire house. You prepared a room for her. You did everything. You took off from work, walhamdulillah. And you did all of this for this cousin of yours. She came, she stayed 3 nights. In fact, she added on 2 more nights extra. And everything was fantastic, perfect. You drove her around, took her sightseeing. After all of this, she just left. But before leaving, she went to the neighbor's house and she thanked the neighbor. How would you feel? Subhanallah. Look at the level of ingratitude. I did everything and she goes and thanks the neighbor. What's wrong with her? Allah musta'an. Allah has given you your sight, your tongue, your ability to walk, your ability to see. Everything that you are, you own. Everything. Allah is the one who provided and gave, and you thank others, and you thank others, and you worship others. Allahu musta'an. How can you, subhanallah? Brothers and sisters, the level of ignorance across the globe, it's amazing, subhanallah. You find people who are worshipping stones, people who are worshipping idols. He purchased this idol in a shop. It states they're made in such and such country. He keeps it in his pocket. He puts it on his dashboard in the car. He has this picture and he touches this picture every morning, evening and night. It might be a grave that he comes and he stands in a position of awe before it. This human being that he bows down to, this human being says jump and he jumps. How high he asks. Everything, sami'na wa ata'na, I listen and I obey to that creation. That creation who goes to the toilet, Allahu musta'an. A tree, somebody worships a tree. An animal, others, consumerism, money. As many have stated, that sometimes today, the mall manager is like the high temple priest of the old days. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah. Some worship the jinn. Some today worship the devil. Yes or no? Subhanallah. They worship the devil, they acknowledge this is the devil, Satan. And it's like a religion. It is a religion with some. And it's legal with some. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The matter of shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The major and the minor. An example of the minor, riya, showing off. You're performing and doing this act of worship, but it's only so that people would praise you in this world. You are teaching and you are lecturing and you are doing this and doing that, only so people would say, MashaAllah, what a fantastic guy. MashaAllah, look at that sister and her beautiful teachings. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, the first three who will enter the hellfire would be who? Samantha, Ahmed, who do you think's going to hell first? Do you think it's Fir'aun, Haman, maybe Qarun, maybe Hitler? Who's going to hell first? Maybe Satan, maybe Shaytan? No. Rather, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he mentions, and that hadith reported and recorded in Sahih Muslim, the first three to enter the hellfire would be the alim, the scholar, the Shaykhul Hadith, the Mawlana, Allah would ask him, what have you done? Oh Allah, I spread your knowledge and I taught the people and I recited the Quran. No, you only did so. So people would praise you. People would say, what a brilliant scholar, dynamic scholar. What a beautiful voice the Qari has. And he gets no share in the hereafter. He did it for the dunya and he got his reward in the dunya. And so no share in the hereafter. Subhanallah. What a manifest loss. The second individual, the one who gave millions in charity, he gave in this charity and that charity, public and all of this he gave. Allah would ask, what have you done? This is what I've done, O Allah. No, you only did so, so people would praise you and say that you did ABC. And they did so. And so there's no share for you in the hereafter. And the third would be the martyr. But he did not die in the path of Allah. Rather, he died so people would praise him. So people would say, what a courageous and brave man. Brothers and sisters, a side note that indicates to us the power of what people say about us. That it's a great driving force. This man gave his life. He's not going to hear the praises. Rather, these praises are going to be mentioned about him after his death. But that's what he wanted. The draw, the pull, it was super strong. And so he gave his life. Allah would say, you only did this so people would praise you. And you got your share in this world. No share in the hereafter. Subhanallah. The importance of ikhlas. The importance of sincerity. And the heart goes up and down all of the time. That's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts. Keep our hearts firm. A small tiny act of goodness is magnified with the good intention, pure intention. And a massive deed, massive act is made minuscule due to the corrupt or the impure intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas. Lesson number 7, the author discusses wearing these rings, twines, maybe a band, wearing these ta'weez, wearing some sort of ornament, talisman around your neck, around your hand, keeping it in your house, wherever it might be, that this here has this supernatural benefit for me, subhanallah. We find Allah states in the Noble Quran, قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Do you not see that these that you call upon besides Allah? إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرْ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ ضُرِّهِ. If Allah wants harm for you, will they be able to keep back and hold back that harm from reaching you? أَوْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ. Oh, if Allah wanted for you, رَحْمَةً هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِي. Will they be able to hold back the mercy of Allah from reaching you? قُلْ. Rather you should say, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. Sufficient for me is Allah, and my reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمًا فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Whoever wears a talisman or an amulet will never see his wish fulfilled by Allah. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ وَدَعَةً فَلَا وَدَعَ اللَّهُ. And whoever hangs a seashell, he will never get peace and rest. Brothers and sisters, you went to the doctor and he gave you some medication. Alhamdulillah, you took the medication. Fantastic, brilliant. No issue, no problem there at all. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had encouraged us to seek medical treatment. But if the individual had taken the prescription, tied it up and put it around his neck, what would you say about such an individual? If he took the prescription, dipped it in water and kept it there and began drinking the water, what would you say with regards to such an individual? Subhanallah. We find the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states, مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ شَيْئًا وُكِلَ إِلَيْهِ. Whoever attaches something, wears a talisman, etc., then this individual, his reliance is now around the talisman. That's now in charge of him. How many an individual says, no, I know Allah, but you know, I'm just keeping this. In reality, your tawakkul and reliance is upon that. And that hadith reported by Imam Ahmed and Imam At-Tirmidhi. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating in the Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ ثَالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Have you not then considered this Lat and this Uzza? These were the idols of the pagan Arabs, that they would attribute all of the supernatural to these idols. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, yes, recitation of the Noble Quran is ruqyah. We saw in our previous lesson, the man was ill. They recited Surah Al-Fatiha over him and he was cured. وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين. We reveal the noble Quran and it is a cure. The Quran is a cure. Somebody is ill, you are ill, recite the Quran over yourself with the intention of curing, and bi-ithnillahi ta'ala that would work. But taking some symbols, putting them together, taking a book, for example, Romeo and Juliet, putting it and keeping it under the husband's pillow, this would bring about some romance between husband and wife? No, Samantha, that's not going to work. Taking some shady book and keeping it there around your neck? Not going to work at all. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And this here taints your tawheed. This taints, it makes impure your tawheed and your 100% reliance and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, that was lesson number 4, 5, 6, and 7. Walhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ikhlas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawheed. Brothers and sisters, there was that individual that he was desperate, he was in a situation, dire situation, and someone had said to him, you know, slaughter, just sacrifice something for me, for the devil, for the idol. No, this is something I cannot do. Something small, something tiny, even if it be a fly. So, well, fly, small thing here, let me sacrifice, you know, this is for you. He sacrificed the fly in exchange for some help from that soothsayer, from that devil, from that shaitan, from that jinn. That's exactly what they wanted. Be it minuscule, be it major, that is shirk, Allah musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon pure tawheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the gathering of the Anbiya, in the gathering of the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you. And we say to Sister Samantha and to Brother Ahmed, that covers lesson 4, 5, 6 and 7. Keep matters simple, keep your tawheed pure. Recitation of the Quran, fantastic, brilliant, no problem. You had two individuals. One said, what is this nonsense that you recite the noble Quran and it can be a cure? So his brother said to him, you are a man of little understanding. You're an individual who's an imbecile. You are this, you are this, you are this. Suddenly the man went red in his face. He began to roll up his sleeves. He wants to get physical. So his brother, who believed in the curing factor of the Quran, says to him, that my mere words to you got you agitated. Your blood pressure's risen. Look at your face, it's all red. Subhanallah. If my words could have such an effect on you, what do you think about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No doubt they can have an effect on the individual. As for the opinion of some scholars that you are allowed to take certain verses of the Quran and you could have like a ta'weez with regards to that, you could wear it around your neck or something of the sort in some sort of bag. This is a valid opinion of many a scholar. There's debate there whether this is allowed or not. There's debate whether one can use verses of the noble Quran as a ta'weez. As for strange symbols, drawings, the doctor's prescription, then this is definitely out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. Hayyakum Allah, jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.